it is 9 a.m. We like to start very punctually here at the Harvest Baptist Institute for Advanced Theological Studies, or we can just call it Sunday School. Let's bow for prayer and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for Sunday school, Lord, a time to study your word and to learn more about you and to be better equipped to go out into the world and to be ambassadors for Christ. So, Father, I just pray that you'd be with us today. I pray that the weather would not hinder anybody to get here. And, Lord, I do pray for Pastor that you would just give strength to him, to his voice, and just help him, Lord, as he'll be preaching today. I ask and pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3. So if you want to take a moment to turn there, 1 Peter chapter 3. All right. I'm going to start by reading verse 13. So 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll start in verse 13. And, you know, with three preachers here this morning, I kind of feel like I'm on the wrong side of the pulpit. But I'll be teaching from a very powerful book this morning. And so, you know, we'll just let the Holy Spirit do his work, and we'll see how it goes. So in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, we read this, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good?" And you know, I think the key phrase in that verse is that last clause, "if ye be followers of that which is good." Okay, if you want God to bless you, to protect you, you need to be following that which is good. You know, we make our Christian journey a lot more difficult than it needs to be. Our responsibility is obedience. Okay, God will take care of security, all right, if you'll just be obedient to him. You know, I've quoted him before, but Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor who was killed by the Nazis in 1945. And he said this, he said, "One act of obedience is better than 100 sermons." And you know, there's a lot of folks out there that will never darken the doors of a church. And so the only sermon they're going to get is what they see in your life, right? So we want to give them a good sermon, right? Oswald Chambers, he was the author of My Utmost for His Highest, and he said this, "The golden rule for understanding in spiritual matters is not intellect, but obedience." Isn't that so true? So, you know, you never have to worry about what's in the ditch if you stay on the road. Or as A.W. Tozer put it, "The driver on the highway is safe not when he reads the signs, but when he obeys them." Okay? So you want to obey. Or as it says in Psalm 119, 133, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." And you know what? You want the Lord to order your steps. Okay? Y'all have heard me tell the story about when I fell down a mine shaft, okay? I didn't have a good light with me, you know, when I was in there. And you know, I probably shouldn't have been in there, frankly. And I don't think that the Lord led me to go in that mine. It was just me being curious. And I found a 40-foot vertical shaft in there. So praise the Lord, I got out of it. In fact, at times when I look back on that whole experience, I always think of that song, "Love Lifted Me," okay? and he did. Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good that love God to them who are the called according to his purpose." And then I want to give you Psalm 34:19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Okay? And so, yeah, you know, we get afflicted at times. And, you know, you're going to go through hardships and uncertainties and, you know, things that happen. I think, Brother Thornton, didn't you have like a mechanical issue with that big vehicle that you drive? Yeah, you know, it's like, wow. And you don't want that to happen when you're out in the middle of nowhere. But God is always with you. Do you remember what the Holocaust survivor Corrie Ten Boom had to say? She said, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." Okay? Whether you're at the bottom of a 40-foot mine shaft, or whether it's just some circumstance that you're experiencing in life, okay? God loves you, and he wants to pull you out of it. But you know what? We got to trust in him. We have to trust in him. Back in 1 Peter chapter 3, that next verse, verse 14, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." You know, we don't have to have a martyr complex in all of this. We can rejoice no matter what comes our way. Why? Because God is with us. And you always have to remember that. You know, if you're going through difficult or challenging times, God's in control. He's in control. I mean, that's the one thing that gives me peace, is just knowing that he is in control. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what it says. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And you know, there's Acts chapter 20, verses 20 through 22. You don't necessarily have to turn there, but here's what it says. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Okay, now think about that. You know, he knows that there could be persecution, there could be all kinds of trouble awaiting him, and yet he goes anyway. "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And people need to hear that. It's only by the grace of God that we can have a home in heaven. You know, there's so many churches that teach so many false things, okay? I can think of at least four churches within probably a 5-6 mile radius of this church that teach that you can lose your salvation. Okay, there's some folks right up the road here that believe that we're already in the millennial kingdom. Okay, and I've had them come to my door, you know, and I've asked them. I said, "Look, you know, Bible indicates that in the millennium we'll be able to sit down next to a lion and it won't bother us. So would you mind coming down to the zoo with me and just like to see you demonstrate?" You know, no, there's all kinds of false teaching, okay, and many churches, by the way, teach that you've got to do something to earn your salvation. You've got to work for it, okay, and that's just not the case. You know, if you could work your way into heaven by joining a particular church or, you know, giving money to the church, being a good person, well, that's just like saying, well, thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for me, but frankly, I can get to heaven on my own. That's really rebellion, is what that is. Now, you know what? Nobody enjoys suffering. And in these times, or when you experiencing a time of suffering, it can either make you bitter or it can make you better. Okay? We rarely get to choose what the actions of life happen to us, but we do get to choose our reactions. Okay? We don't naturally enjoy a rainy day. Now, a lot of you do, actually. I know that. Okay? And you know what? I don't mind it either. I prefer that it doesn't rain on the weekends when I'm off of work, okay? But you know what? We do need the rain. Even here in the desert, we need it. And I'm just thankful that at least it's not another one of those 40-day, 40-night deals, okay? Because God gave us his promise that he's not going to do that again. So, but here's the thing. Nothing grows without rain, right? I mean, think, you know, it's a desert that we live in, but how barren would it be if we just didn't get any rain? I think there's a desert down in Chile that, you know, gets, it hasn't had any recorded rainfall in years, I believe. Yeah, it's in Chile. I can't think of the name of it. I want to say Atacama or something like that. Is that what it is? Okay. I can't believe I actually remembered something. All right, anytime I remember anything these days, it's a pleasant surprise. But, yeah, without rain, nothing grows. And, you know, we like the sunny days. But the clouds of life are necessary to produce the rain that will enable growth. Now, look back at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, the next verse. Let me go back there. All right, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. All right. So the outcome of our lives will be a direct result of what's on the inside of our lives. Okay? And so you have to ask, well, what are you putting into your life? What are you putting into your life? Whatever you're putting into your life now will come out of your life during those times of hardship, okay? Because oftentimes the way you respond to a hardship, especially when it happens suddenly, you do that almost without thinking, okay? So it's just going to be what's in your heart is what comes out, okay? And remember this, I believe oftentimes when God allows hardship into your life, okay, it's not always just to build you up, to work on your life, but it may be that God is using the hardship in your life and the way you respond to it to reach somebody else, okay? Because remember, you're the biggest Christian that somebody knows. What kind of sermon are you going to preach with your life when the hardships come? Okay? Because remember, there's a lot of folks out there that, you know, they'll never darken the doors of a church. Sometimes, you know, they may persecute you, you know, by calling you names or whatever for being a Christian. I've been accused of being, you know, one of those church people. Okay? Yeah. And you know what? I'm guilty. You know, I'm guilty. I am one of those church people, okay? You know? But they still notice something about you. And you know what? When they have hard times come into their life, they don't have somebody that they can turn to. Except for maybe the one whose life they've been observing, okay? And there's your opportunity to be an ambassador for Christ. And as I've said before on many occasions, you know. You're an ambassador, which in the United States, an ambassador has the rank of a four-star general. So you're a soldier of the cross, but you're not just a foot soldier. You're a general officer, okay? So you have responsibilities. So I'll just I'll leave you with this thought. We're getting near the near the end. I like what Leonard Ravenhill had to say. He said, "What you are on your knees before God, that you are, and nothing more." D.L. Moody said this. I like this. "If I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself." Think about that. You know, you don't have to work on your reputation that way. So, doing right today and continually keeping our lives right with God will produce the right outcome when those trials of life come. So God wants to use you in those trials. Will you be prepared? Will you be prepared? Because the time to prepare is not when the trial happens. It's now. It's now. So, you know, spend time in the Word on a daily basis. Spend time in prayer on a daily basis. Really cultivate that relationship with the Lord. Okay? He will build you up, and He will make you stronger. You know, no one has endured a fiery furnace like Christ has. When you think about it, imagine all the thoughts that would have gone through His mind as He was approaching the cross on Calvary and then hung on that cross. And Jesus endured tremendous suffering. And yet every word He spoke impacted those around Him. Okay? To the point where there was one thief on the cross next to Him that turned to Jesus and recognized who He was and put his faith and trust in Him. And what did Jesus tell that thief? "Today, you shall be with me in paradise." You know, when I've been witnessing to others, particularly somebody that just has a hard time understanding that salvation is a gift, I like to take them back to the Bible where it talks about that. Because, you know, that thief had no opportunity to come down off the cross and join a church. He didn't have any opportunity to get baptized. He couldn't be a good person. I mean, he was convicted of being a thief and was suffering the punishment for it. And he knew his punishment was just. He said so. You know, he said so. And yet, he heard Jesus and he turned to Him and put his faith and trust in Him. In his hour of need, and believe me, he had a need. He needed to be saved. And Jesus saved him. You know, I look forward to talking to that thief someday. Someday I will. Okay? All right. I'm going to close it there, but we do have some time for any questions, thoughts. Yes? That is true. Yeah. So, Brother Kevin, you know, mentioned, you know, about friends or relatives, that they know that there's a need and prayer is the way to answer that need, and they go to the one whose life they've observed, and they want you to pray for their need or for them or whatever the case may be. And, you know, thankfully they have somebody that they can turn to, but, you know, what they really need to know is that their biggest need is salvation. You know, they don't have to go to Kevin or, you know, to me or to somebody else. They can go straight to the throne of grace themselves. But you got to have a relationship. You got to know Him first. All right. Mel, did you have... Yes. Well, you know, it's amazing, you know, what God can do with a person who has surrendered their life to Him. You know, it is amazing what can be done. Yes, Brother Sam. The well of the heart will be revealed through the bucket of the mouth. Yeah. Yeah, you know. Well, if you're filling that reservoir now, you'll God will guide you in those times. Isn't that something, you know? because they know there was something different about Him. And, so sometimes, you know, the lost, they experience hardship. They don't know who to turn to. They don't have a relationship with Jesus, but they know somebody who does. And, you know, they turn to Him. Yeah, you know, and that's even though they're so resistant. You know, this John was very resistant, you know, being an agnostic, you know. I think I've told this story about, I used to work for a market research firm here in Phoenix, and the owner of the company was a very committed atheist. And so one day I was talking to, he had a young research analyst, fresh out of college. And it was the end of the day. It was after 5 o'clock. Just about everybody had gone home. And it was just me, him, and the owner. His name is Earl, and he was in his corner office. And so as I'm sharing the gospel with this young researcher, I did so with a slightly elevated voice. So I thought, you know, why not get two for the price of one? And, you know, so Earl comes out of his office to grab something off the printer, and as he's walking back, he says, you know, all this talk about belief in God is just so much dribble. And that's what he said, and then he kept walking into his office, and I said to the young man that was in front of me, I said, well, you know, someday Earl is going to be a true believer. You know, my hope and my prayer is that it's in this life and not in the next, okay? But what about you, you know? And, I only had one real clear opportunity to directly witness to Earl because he was very resistant. We actually had lunch together. And and right after I kind of got it out, you know, he just said, you know, Dave, I appreciate what you're doing. Others have tried, you know. And I just said, you know, Earl, I'm just going to keep praying for you anyway, okay? So, and by now, you know, I know he's still out there, you know, but he's into his 80s now. And so he's getting closer to eternity. And, yeah, my prayer is that he gets that settled in his life. Any other comments, questions? Yes, Brother Mel. Well, you know, I think one of the keys to what you just said, though, is that Moses spent time in the presence of God. We can do that too, and we should. And we should do it on a daily basis. And certainly when those hard times come, we need to go to Him. Get in the presence of God. And you know what? It's amazing what He can do. And I'll tell you, when He answers your prayers, that also will increase your faith like nothing else, you know. So, yes. Looks very sharp. Well, you may have planted a small seed there, you know. Two observations I would make is, you know, number one, you know, Buddha means light. Lucifer means angel of light. They're worshiping somebody, but it's not God. Second observation, Brother Darrell, is I don't know if you realize this, but I think she carved a message in the back of your head there. So yeah, may want to check that. I know that's. I thought I'd mention it, but yep. All right. Well, we'll have to leave it at that. It's 9:31. So let's bow for prayer, and we'll be dismissed from Sunday school. Heavenly Father, we are just thankful that we have your word to guide us. And Lord, we just know that you're in control. And when there's difficulty, when there's challenges that come into our lives, Father, we can turn to you, and you will empower us, and you will make it possible for us to overcome whatever challenges are out there, as long as we pray and ask in accordance with your will. Now, Lord, I just pray that you'd be with us for the morning services, which will follow, Lord, and just help everybody that is here today to be attentive and to open their hearts and minds to the preaching of your word. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.